Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. Also, we've got the 6/24/22 merch. Just had the three-year anniversary yesterday. Celebrate the overturn of Roe versus Wade, 6/24/22. You can get it at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU10 for 10% off. Jasmine Crockett has suffered a political loss. I'll tell you about the recent troubles for our most favorite rising Democrat. We're going to start, though, by doing the latest fall of Andrew Cuomo. You got to be more specific, right? You can't just talk about the failures and the falls of Andrew Cuomo. There's so many of them. In fact, I hold in my hand one of my cherished gifts, most cherished gifts of my entire time working here at The Blaze and with the Glenn Beck program, a gift from Glenn Beck right here. I hold it on my desk all the time. It's a framed picture of Andrew Cuomo resigning from office. I love it so much. And Glenn, thank you. Thank you for all the support all these years. What a meaningful time this was. Andrew Cuomo, gone. Another falling from grace. Another pathetic humiliation. It just... I don't live in New York City, to be clear. I've never lived in New York City. I was born in New York State. I lived in Connecticut for a long time. I lived in Pennsylvania for a long time. Never lived in New York. And I don't have to think about what socialism means directly to me in New York City right now. So for a while, at least a couple of weeks, I'm going to kind of sit back and forget about what the nationwide or potentially global consequences are of our financial center being run by potentially a socialist. And I'm just going to celebrate the fact that Andrew Cuomo lost, because I like seeing failure in his life, because he deserves every little bit of it. Zoran Mamdani declares victory as NYC's Democratic mayoral primary as Cuomo concedes. And if you think, like, well, you know, look, he lost a race. What's the big deal? It's hard to describe how embarrassing this is. This is an utter humiliation. Let me just give you, if you don't know this guy at all, you might have heard, oh, he's a socialist. Let me give you a video that was not unearthed by others trying to hurt his campaign, but a video he actually released himself to try to help his campaign. Here is Zoran Mamdani.
Grocery prices are out of control. The cost of eggs and milk has skyrocketed. Huh. Some stores are even using dynamic pricing, jacking up the cost over the course of a day, depending on what they can get away with. It doesn't need to be this way. I'm Zoran Mamdani, and as mayor, I will create a network of city-owned grocery stores.
Oh my God.
It's like a public option for produce. We will redirect city funds from corporate supermarkets to city-owned grocery stores, whose mission is lower prices, not price gouging. These stores will operate without a profit motive or having to pay property taxes or rent, and will pass on those savings to you.
We're going to take tax dollars from businesses that risk their own money and employed people, and we're going to take it and then use it to undercut them in the market. And by the way, if you love government cheese, you're going to love my new grocery stores. That was the messaging to the wealthiest city on earth. Okay, good luck with all of that. By the way, he's also a complete and utter fraud. Here he is being confronted over the fact that he's got a Hillary Clinton problem with changing accents depending on what audience he's in front of.
Because I think that New Yorkers, more than they hate a politician they disagree with, they hate a politician they can't trust.
On the subject of trust, you've adopted different speaking accents in different scenarios.
But they go to their local bodega.
Is there one that's real and one that's affected?
What I would say is, as any immigrant knows, having been born in Kampala, Uganda, and then raised in South Africa and moving here when I'm 7 years old, is there are different parts of my life.
Worldwide tour is a worldwide tour is a worldwide tour.
Mamdani was talking about a worldwide press tour back when he was a rapper.
Bring the flavor to the fish, bring the flavor to the rice. Bring the flavor to the rice.
In a Disney movie directed by his mother.
nepotism and hard work goes a long way. Here in New York City, this is how I speak.
I love that his answer to this accusation is, look, here in New York City, this is how I speak. So come on, you can trust me. This guy is pathetic in every single way. And I will say that, you know, having a socialist run the financial center of the world, our biggest and most crucial city when it comes to so many different things, you know, not beyond just finance, but, you know, culture probably too. That going on in the center where Wall Street is housed is really bad for the country. But I can't help but just enjoy the fact that we got to watch Andrew Cuomo fail. A horrible human being in every single way. He lost, he didn't just lose an election. He lost to a 33-year-old zilch, a person who no one knew who they were like 2 weeks ago. A giant nobody with no accomplishments and no plan for the future other than to destroy it. And people are like, yeah, I'd rather have him than Andrew Cuomo. I can't tell you how excited. You know, we've done a lot of things on this show. And I think maybe the central thing we've done is to make Andrew Cuomo into an international enemy to all. And I mean, he's done most of the work himself, to be fair. But we've tried to highlight that as much as we could on this program. And it's just honestly, it makes me happy to watch it all occur. Now, it's possible that Cuomo can still go on. He has said the entire time he was going to go on. He got $30 million more than all of his opponents. And part of what he did with that money was to basically buy himself a third party. He invested in a third party line in New York. It's a weird system, but basically you can be held on multiple party lines. So like you can have, the Democratic ticket and the Working Families Party ticket. That stuff's been going on for a very long time in New York. It's part of the system. What he did was basically create his own party. So in case he lost the Democratic primary, he could still run as part of I can't remember what the name of the party is, but it's some, you know, ridiculous party he just made up, the Super Tough Guy Party. And he's already on the ticket on the Super Tough Guy Party line. So he, unless he changes things himself, unless he decides to drop out, he can be on the ballot and it can go down that line. And it's very possibly true that his super great style of corruption and killing old people and, you know, a grope-a-thon of younger employees might actually still be better than what Mom Donnie's going to do. I mean, you know, there's a lot of that stuff wouldn't necessarily hit you. If you don't happen to be working for Andrew Cuomo, you're unlikely to be continually groped by him. So perhaps it won't really affect your life all that much, where Mom Donnie, everything he does is going to affect your life in a significant way. But it's still, even if it is terrible for people in New York, it's just fun to watch. I'm really far away. You know, I mean, I'm all the way in Texas. This no longer hits me to my core. But at some point, I'm going to have to, like, deal with the consequences of what happened in New York. But right now, I'm just going to enjoy it. There's a bigger question here. Is this some big left-wing maneuver? Is this, you know, society showing they're pushing back against Trump and going far left? I don't think so. I think it's more, honestly, about the fact that most voters don't want the candidate they're voting for to have killed their relatives in the past. I think that might be a big chunk of it. If you're thinking of running a campaign, it's best not to murder the relatives of your voters. This is just I'm not a political consultant, but I am a thinker. Now, Cuomo will reassess his plans to run as an independent. This is somewhat of a big development. I talked to you about the polling going into this. Most of the polling showed that Andrew Cuomo would win relatively handily in the first round of this ballot. Mamdani would chip away at it through the rounds of ranked choice voting. And by the seventh or eighth round, you'd have a situation where likely Cuomo won. Sometimes there were a few polls. We highlighted one of them the other day where Mamdani won. Although, you know, that was it was the most recent poll. Another kind of a win for Emerson Polling, who's had a really good run as of late. They were really the only one who was predicting this outside of some partisan polling. So a really positive result for them, because this was one of those situations where Mamdani blew him out. I mean, beat him handily in the first round. That's why he resigned. There's no point. He had no chance of winning it in the later rounds. We all knew Mamdani was going to improve in those later rounds. So Cuomo basically, conceded the election and then got on the phone with the New York Times to try to clarify where he was. He said shortly after a concession speech that he was still considering whether to run in the general election on an independent line. I said he won the primary election, Mr. Cuomo said, referring to Mamdani. I said I wanted to look at the numbers and the ranked choice voting to decide about what to do in the future because I'm also on an independent line. That's a decision. That's what I was saying. I want to analyze, talk to some colleagues. So basically, he's trying to see if he still has a chance to win. And you might say, well, it's been kind of a disaster for him. I can't imagine he would have a chance to win. Plus, he's failed over and over and over again. Wouldn't that continue? And the most likely outcome for that, of course, is yes. If he sees polling like this, however, in his internal polls, as we approach this, he probably will stay in. There's not a lot of polling that happened to show if it was like a five-way race. The Manhattan Institute did run a poll to test this. Now, to give you a little bit of a disclaimer on this poll, this is a poll where Cuomo won the first round of voting by, I think, 13 points. So this is a relatively, it wasn't an overly favorable outlier type of poll for Cuomo, but it was a favorable poll for Cuomo. And so you think this probably is a more favorable result than he would have since reality did not show a 15-point win. Again, it was a Mamdani victory, yes, which is significant. It was also a primary vote where a lot of left-wing, movement progressives were out in force. It was also really, really hot, and older voters were more likely to vote for Cuomo. Voters who were not necessarily as politically engaged were more likely to vote for Cuomo. It could have been that a lot of people just didn't want to go out and do this on this day. I mean, I know that sounds pathetic, but, you know, this is why primary polls are notoriously hard to measure. Here's, by the way, what a five-way race looks like if Cuomo stays in the race. This is what the Manhattan Institute found. Andrew Cuomo at 39% of the vote, Mamdani at 25%, Curtis Sliwa, the Republican candidate, at 12%, Eric Adams at only 10%, and Jim Walden, who's a lawyer running as a centrist, at 3%. Now, I don't necessarily believe that's reality. I don't think it holds up. I also think you have a situation with Cuomo having such a miserable public failure here. There's a good chance the situation gets a lot worse than this. And if he's not seeing polling like this in his internal polling, there's a good chance he drops out. But if he's close or leading, I can't imagine he's going to go anywhere. By the way, this is what it looks like without Cuomo in the race. Mamdani at 33%, Eric Adams at 19, Sliwa at 16, Walden at 5, but 28% not sure. So it's not a foregone conclusion that Mamdani wins this election. I think if Cuomo were to have won in a convincing fashion, it would likely be that he would have won the general election as well. Mamdani, though, I have a feeling, and this could be just a feeling, that once the New York City folk wind up really viewing a possibility of actually having a socialist as their mayor, this is like even beyond where de Blasio was, there's a chance anyone but Mamdani situation happens where people coalesce around someone else. I mean, the most likely person would be Adams. It's possibly Cuomo. It's possibly Sliwa. He'd probably be the best choice, but of course they're not going to do that in New York. It even could possibly be this lawyer. Who knows what could happen there? By the way, who did this? Who elected the socialists? A lot of people saying, oh gosh, you know, it must be all the minorities who did it. No, it's mostly just white people and rich people, which is bizarre, but that's the way it is. Again, socialists always claim they're working for the working class, but the working class doesn't want socialists. You do the math on that. People under $50,000 voted for Cuomo. This is an income. Voted for Cuomo by 19 points. It was people in the middle, upper middle class and upper classes between 50 and 100,000 had a slight lean toward Mamdani, only 6 points, but a 13-point lean toward Mamdani for people over $100,000. Now, other thing I find fascinating about this is now that we've watched Cuomo fail miserably, everyone's like, yeah, gosh, that guy was really bad. He's terrible. Get out of here, Andrew Cuomo. We don't like you. Where was this the entire time? I'm curious. Ex-Obama aides, insane to think Cuomo is better than a Democratic socialist. Let me just give you some clips. This is from Pod Save America of the former Obama bros going through how much they can't stand Andrew Cuomo. Watch.
Here once again, they are inspired by a candidate. And people from the Democratic establishment, if you live in New York and you want Brad Lander or someone else, that's fine. But to do that is bad. To do it for Andrew Cuomo is really unforgivable. Like, this isn't, you're not doing it for another good Democrat. You're doing it for someone that the entire Democratic Party leadership, including the president of the United States at the time, wanted to resign from the governorship because he sexually harassed 11 women. He abused his power, involved in this nursing home scandal, and everyone's getting behind that. You would rather, the idea that we are more scared about a Democratic socialist as the mayor of New York than Andrew Cuomo with his record of corruption and sexual harassment is insane to me.
Now, of course, not every Democrat was saying they wanted him to resign, and until basically it was already done. You kind of skipped over the fact that he murdered a bunch of old people in there. Allegedly. That's part of it, too. Here is John Lovett, another Obama bro.
Cuomo is this, you know, he has the controversy around the nursing homes and writing a book during the pandemic. He's a sexual harasser. His decisions may be basically personally responsible for why Democrats don't have the House. He's a bully. He doesn't seem to want the job. Maybe he wants to run for president. Like, there's a lot of corruption mm-hmm. around him. And there's all these different reasons to not like Andrew Cuomo, but a lot of them don't really get at the core of whether he will succeed or fail as mayor in doing the things he has claimed he was going to do.
It's amazing where it sounds like they were just listening to Studios America and quoting old shows. But apparently now it's okay to say all these things. I don't remember a lot of it happening throughout all of 2020 when we were ranting about it every single day. Here's Jon Favreau for one more example.
What is bothering me a lot about the Cuomo thing is the guy didn't really campaign because he feels so entitled to the job. Like, you don't like Mamdani, then, you know, make a case about his policies and how they would affect people. So Andrew Cuomo didn't do interviews. You know, we reached out, everyone reached out. He wasn't doing interviews for this campaign, didn't really campaign. Then you see Mamdani just like literally walking the length of New York City, trying to talk to voters and meet people. All the other candidates trying to take campaigning seriously. And Andrew Cuomo's just like, I have the name recognition. I got the money. People know me. I'm owed this job. It's a step down from governor, but whatever. I'll take it. Like, that's the kind of person you want.
He hasn't lived in the city of New York for 30 years.
That's the person you want running your city.
Look, I could get angry about all this. I could. I could be upset about it. I could think, oh my gosh, I can't believe these people were out there and they're saying this now. And many of them were not saying it back in the day when it kind of mattered more, when Cuomo was in power. And that's probably all true. But I'm just going to bask in the fact that it's not just us saying it anymore. Let's be happy for once, right? People understand who Andrew Cuomo is. I really hope that he just drops out. The best chance we have to not have a socialist mayor of our largest city, and I know you're probably like me, you're probably not in New York City, you're probably thinking, who cares about the mayor of New York City? It does have an impact on our country. This is our financial center. This is a massive issue, even if you don't live in New York City or New York State. It is, it's a big part of our economy. Frankly, and the fact that this could be ruled by some terrible socialist who will be breaking the Constitution every other day, or at least attempting to, is legitimately concerning. I really don't want him to win. I don't want Cuomo to win either. Honestly, any of the other people, whatever, fine. Adams, I don't think he's been a great mayor by any means, but certainly better than those two. Sliwa would be fantastic. Of course, it just doesn't seem like he's going to get anywhere north of 30% just because of the makeup of this city. I don't know too much about this fifth guy who is a lawyer. He's claiming he's a centrist. I mean, look, if a Giuliani / Bloomberg type of Republican were running, I think they would probably have a really good chance of winning right now. But, Sliwa's not really that guy. I think there's a lot of positives from Sliwa. I think he's, a good guy. But, I think it's going to be tough for him to win. Most likely what happens is there is some sort of anti-Mamdani, hey, anybody but him sort of thing that coalesces around one of these candidates. And if that does happen, if everyone doesn't, stay in their own little chunk and you get 20% all over the place split up, there's a good chance you can beat Mamdani. As bad as the New York City voting populace is, a lot of working class people are like, I don't want anything to do with this. This is insane. A lot of people who are immigrants to New York City came from places where people like Mamdani ran the show, and they're in New York because they hated that. So it's possible he can be defeated in the general. Not going to be easy, though. And before I go, I want to give you one other fall from grace. We've seen multiple. We saw Cuomo fall miserably when we've seen him fall again. A person we've seen fall even more than that is Anthony Weiner. Now, Weiner fell from, he was a congressman, he was talked about maybe a presidential candidate on TV all the time. Of course, then he fell miserably from that platform. Came back, ran for mayor, did a documentary on himself as he was running for mayor, and then got caught in another sexual scandal and fell from grace again. He attempted a third comeback. You didn't hear much about it. Came a third comeback. He was going for the second district Democratic primary. He went up against a bunch of people you don't know, and he finished fourth with 10.3% of the vote. And the main reason I tell you about this, other than the fact that I would like to dance on his political grave as much as Andrew Cuomo's, is the fact that he lost to a man named Harvey Epstein. This is real. This is not, there was an SNL bit that highlighted this, but it was not a fake name. The real guy who beat Anthony Weiner was Harvey Epstein. Now, if you're voting for Harvey Epstein, and you're thinking, you sit back and you're like, God, I lost by 29 points to Harvey Epstein. Hopefully, finally, we can be rid not only of Andrew Cuomo, but also Anthony Weiner. By the way, how very rude of me to do an entire Andrew Cuomo segment without reminding you, Andrew Cuomo is awful.com. It is an excellent dinner table conversation, isn't it? You know, you're a guy who's noticed your energy drive or your performance just isn't what it used to be. Well, what do I do about that? I'm sure everyone loves talking about it. Look, you're not the only one, and there are real solutions out there. Blue Chew is available. It makes it easy for you, and right now they can give it to you free for a whole month. This is all you have to do is go to BlueChew.com, answer a few questions, consult with a licensed medical provider, and if you're approved, your prescription ships right to your door in a few days. It's made right here in the USA. The entire process happens online. It's discreet. There's no uncomfortable doctor visits. You have to go through no awkward face-to-face conversations, no waiting around at the pharmacy. As always, your first month of Blue Chew is free. Just use the promo code STU at checkout. Pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Join Blue Chew's global mission to make things a little bit better in the bedroom. Head to BlueChew.com for details and safety information. It's BlueChew.com. The code is Stu. BlueChew.com.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Well, my favorite person in the universe, Jasmine Crockett, is in the news. She had some commentary on the Iran strike, and I hesitate to say this because it makes me very uncomfortable. She is about to say something. It's got a naughty word in it, first of all, I'll warn you of that. But secondly, I want you to listen to what she says, and then I'm going to say something shocking. Watch.
And to understand enough about the Constitution to the extent that I'm the one that's supposed to make the decision or at least get a vote.
Now, the statement is made with the trademark sass of our one and only beloved Jasmine Crockett. And so a lot of that's getting lost. However, she's sort of actually telling the truth there. I mean, that is how the Constitution is designed. Now, I will say that for limited actions like this, there's a lot of disagreement as to whether the Constitution allows for the executive, who, by the way, is the commander-in-chief of the military, to do this or not. However, there is also a congressional role and one that we basically deleted from our system somehow. I don't know how that exactly occurred. It's kind of like the TikTok law. Like, we're just like, what if it didn't pass? It's kind of like what we're doing. So anyway, she's kind of actually making a coherent point, just in a way that's completely incoherent, which is why I love her so much. She should be the face of the Democratic Party, because she makes, even when she's making points that are coherent, she sounds like a moron. And that's why I love her so. So I'm a huge fan, and I'm very upset about this piece of news about Jasmine Crockett. She's now dropping out of her race for top oversight committee Democrat. She has bowed out of the race to become the top Democrat on that committee. She was gunning to become the next ranking member, a title given to the senior member of the minority party. It was clear by the numbers that my style of leadership is not exactly what they were looking for. Oh, God. They would say the same thing to her if she went to, you know, to be Apple, to be like the manager at, you know, Smoothie King. Like, they would also, they would make the same point. I don't think it was fair that they to then push forward and try to rebuke all of that. She says, I accept it. And I think you have to make sure that you're going to be able to work with leadership if you're going to a leadership position. That is a good point. Again, she's making great points. This is why I love her so much. Fantastic points made fantastically. The Jasmine Crockett guarantee. Also, speaking of socialists, Joe Rogan had his favorite socialist on the air, Bernie Sanders. Is he going to run in 2028? I mean, this is an actual question being discussed, because we didn't learn enough from Bernie Sanders being, Joe Biden being 81 years old. Let's run an 83-year-old. And I will say, in Joe's defense here, the issue was never that it was 81 years. I mean, Donald Trump's, what, 78? It was never late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s question. The question was, can Joe Biden think? And we all know the answer to that. The answer to that, of course, is no. He was asked, Rogan asked, though, are you going to run for president again? Bernie said, I'm 83 years of age. I'm not sure the American people would be too enthusiastic. Rogan responded, you're still very with it. I mean, you're still a couple of years older than Biden. Think of that. You can't be off a lot worse. And the lawmaker from Vermont chuckled and brushed off the comment. And that's basically it. He does talk about AOC in here and highlights that she is, you know, very much in touch with the unjust things going on in the city. I do think AOC is the one that's going to take over the mantle probably from Bernie Sanders. But when you say, hey, are you going to run for president again? You might say, well, why the hell not? Why wouldn't he? And I'll tell you why not right here. Jasmine Crockett, 2028, the T-shirt available now, the mug available now, the sticker available now, stewdoesmerch.com, the code is stew10. Now, you might say, I don't want her to be president. That's why the disclaimer underneath it says Jasmine Crockett, 28, for Democratic nominee and nothing else. And if you don't like that, you're just a racist, honestly. So Jasmine Crockett, 2028, get it at stewdoesmerch.com. It's stewdoesmerch.com. The code is stew10. You'll save 10%.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecremer oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
One thing about an era where Donald Trump is president, you don't get a lot of pastels, if you will. There's a lot of bold colors, a lot of big changes, a lot of major things going on kind of all the time. And some of them are really, really good. Some of them people get pissed off about. But there's always kind of something, some movement. There's not a, it's not like a boring put yourself to sleep stability. It's not like a, you know, like one of those shows that airs on PBS about like British culture in the 1700s where nothing ever really seems to happen, but you're supposed to really care. It's much more explosions in American action movie style. And, you know, most of that is very, very entertaining, frankly. But it can at times, you know, shake the markets up. They can change things around. Polls go up and down maybe a little bit more quickly than you might expect. And we're seeing some of that now. In fact, the stock market in a very nice little place right now. The stock market is on the precipice of an all-time record. Now, you know, this is interesting because you might say, well, wait a minute. We just went to war. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. All the tariffs. tariffs. That sent the market sinking, and now they're back up. Well, a couple things to remember. Number one, we didn't go to war. We had a limited strike, and it went really well. So the markets have been pretty happy with that. I mean, they did drop the initial sort of rumors of that, but they have bounced back nicely. The oil prices shot up initially. They've been brought back down. A lot of this is a reminder to just kind of like relax a little bit. Like when, and this is something I notice is the right thing to do, like when you have kids, for example. If your kids are freaking out and they're screaming back at you and they're getting all pumped up and they are about to have a meltdown, the best thing you can do is be utterly, almost ridiculously calm, right? The more you can kind of handle things that way, the more you're likely you are to disarm that situation. If you start screaming back at them, things go out of control and bad things happen. With the markets, you've kind of seen some of that as well. I think the same thing applies to tariffs. Now, of course, someone will point out, and it is true, that most of the tariffs actually aren't in effect. So, you know, how much is that going to, if we do get these 150% type tariffs that might pop on later on outside of China to the whole globe, 70, 80, 90% rates, I think you'd see a difference here. But as of right now, you know, we get the 10% one, we got some of it on steel. I'm not a tariff fan, as you know, but like, I'm not surprised the markets aren't really being shaken up by the levels of tariffs that we have right now. We will see if that continues. By the way, Republicans' midterm chances also look pretty good, at least according to one poll. Again, this poll has bounced around a lot. I'm a little skeptical of the optimism here. In April, it was 50 to 45 Democrats up. Democrats this was May, had it at 48-45 Democrats. So Democrats plus 5, Democrats plus 3. This one has Republicans plus 8. Now, I've been looking at this polling for a long time. Republicans are never plus 8. Now, it's only one poll. But hey, if that's what's happening, maybe good things around the corner here in the midterms. I kind of still expect some bad news there, but maybe it'll be some good news. We will see. It's coming. It feels like Trump's been back in office for like 4 years, but actually it's only been a few months. So we still have some time before that happens, a lot to develop, but that's where we are right now. You would not trust a random person off the street to handle your money. So why trust just anyone when you're talking about the biggest decisions of your life financially? And a good real estate agent can make all the difference when it comes to buying or selling a home. This is something Glenn talked about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago now, when he was just getting really, really frustrated. I want to say this happened around the time we moved out of New York. It was just like driving him crazy. The real estate agents that he had, it wasn't working out. He needed to find a way to look at real estate agents, because mostly people kind of just pick designed on like, hey, I know this person, or the friend of a friend had a decent experience, I guess I'll give them a shot. Or I'm just online and I see the picture of the house I like and then underneath is the name. Don't do that. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. The name says it all. It's a free service to you that connects you with the top real estate agent professionals in your area. People are experienced, vetted, and dedicated to help you buy or sell a home. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. I'm happy to welcome Greg Wrightstone back to the program. He's the executive director of the CO2 Coalition and author of A Very Convenient Warming: How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity, which is available now wherever you get your books. Greg, thanks so much for coming back on the show. Happy Earth Day.
Oh, back at you. You know, it was a year ago, I wrote a commentary. I said it was time for us to abandon Earth Day. We've accomplished all the objectives. It's time to move on. These people are using it now just to get crazy stuff, trying to control every aspect of your lives. But I've rethought that. And I think we should embrace this and make this basically an Earth Day that we should celebrate. Because, as you know, the last time I was on with you, we talked about how Earth's ecosystems were just thriving and benefiting, and humanity was benefiting also along with it, the human conditions improving. And it's because of warming and more CO2. So I say let's celebrate Earth Day from now on. We should celebrate warming and more CO2.
I mean, I agree with you here. Obviously, I mean, it's hard to disagree that life has gotten better since oil came around, since we started using fossil fuels, that there's been a massive improvement. as far as civilization goes, modern civilization. Yet the left continues to oppose it. And part of this, I think, Greg, is that they look at it, the framework is all wrong, right? They're looking at it as what is good or bad for the Earth. And what does that mean? I mean, isn't our goal to make the Earth a better place for human beings to flourish in? Or should we be thinking about this as some sort of zero-sum game where everything that's good for us is an injury to the Earth?
And that's why it sure seems to, that they're looking at it. They're taking anything that they can just twist in any which way and connect it this bad, connect it to climate change. Last year, they were promoting the fact that there was an increase in toenail fungus that was related to climate change. It just, I think people are getting the idea now. I think they've overreached, actually, with all these crazy things they're linking to it. But again, it's they refuse to recognize anything beneficial, and completely blow out of the sphere of reality anything that's bad. In fact, we just published today. We published in about 30 minutes a paper on increasing CO2 and nutritional value of crops. It's hard to dispute, and they can't. It's beyond dispute that more CO2 is increasing productivity of our agricultural yields. It's incredible, and it's because of more CO2. So now they've twisted and said, well, yeah, there are more crops being grown, but the nutritional value is declining. And so we've had Dr. Happer, Dr. Albert Glitzel, who's a member from Paraguay, a top agronomist, and they've put together this report refuting the idea that nutritional values of crops are decreasing as the productivity and the per acre bushels are increasing. And so this was a much needed paper. Nothing's been done like it before. And that's part of what we do here at the CO2 Coalition is put together a team of experts. And then we go back and we take a look and we use the science, facts, and data to dispute what these climate grifters and what I call the disciples of disinformation, these people spreading climate lies and other. And the only reason why are they doing it? They want to control every aspect of our lives, from what we drive to how we heat our homes to what we eat. They want you eating bugs and not sirloin steak. No, thank you. I enjoy sirloin and I enjoy living a high carbon lifestyle. And I can do both and sleep very well at night. I'm not harming the planet, nor will you.
You know, and I think like the proof is in the pudding, right? I mean, billions more people are being fed now than they were years and years ago. We've lived through an incredible revolution where this has happened, where it used to be children were starving all over the place. That's happening much less frequently now. And when you look at the overall picture when it comes to CO2, for example, in China, they're using much more coal, much more fossil fuel to power their country. And, you know, this type of stuff gets ignored. I mean, there was a big announcement that came up, but China accounted for 2/3 of new global coal plant capacity in 2023. They have added 48.4 gigawatts, I like gigawatts, of electricity. I'm going gigawatts, I don't care. I just watched Back to the Future with my son.
That's so, all right.
It's considerably more than the 1.21 gigawatts needed for time travel, Greg. And, you know, they're doing this every single year. This totally wipes out the efforts of the rest of the world to lower their carbon, and no one even comments on it.
Exactly. It's anything we do, even if, forget about China. It's hard to do it, but forget about it. Anything that we do is so small. It's the warming that would be averted by us going to net zero is too small to measure. And to the earlier to your point about how life is better, two complete in terms of health, human health, two charts in my new book. One was I related famines, and famines and drought were the most dangerous of all the climate catastrophes throughout the last thousands of years. And I took a look at the famine deaths per year and compared it to temperature. I mean, those famine deaths were just plunging as CO2 levels rose. And I also have another chart in there comparing crop production population growth. We find that crops are greatly, and the production of our food resources are greatly outpacing that of population growth. So this idea, this Malthusian misguided theory that we have too many humans on Earth is just blown out of the water by, again, you hear me say it all the time, science, facts, and data. But we do need to follow the science to find out that we're feeding a growing population and then some. What's also interesting in that chart, they also showed acreage that's under production. It was flat. So it's not that we're planting more. We're just growing more crops because of warming temperatures. It means longer growing seasons, CO2 fertilization effect, and then the use of nitrogen fertilizers. Those three things are really fueling this crop productivity enhancement.
And it's amazing. I mean, under any rational time, this would be considered a miracle, right? Like the fact that you could do all these things for this many people is something that really we've never had in all of global history until right now. And instead, we have people trying to, the degrowth movement. We have people who sound a lot like the Malthusians of the past who are, you know, fueling our policy. The president did come out today and made this big Earth Day, of course, 2024 proclamation. They're putting billions of dollars into things like the Civilian Conservation Corps, the Climate Corps. They're targeting microplastics as some major damage. I mean, you see the efforts of the government. Are any of these productive at all, Greg?
Oh, not at all. And if you look at the false claim of microplastics, there's to be this claim of a huge plastic group out in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. It's not there. You can travel there and not find it. And what you find also are some of these plastics that actually wash up on the beaches. It's not good, but the animals like crabs and other things use those as rafts and they live on them. Birds do eat them, but that's what they do with stones and things in their gullet that helps in digestion. And they're just, it's crazy things. They're talking about extinctions and mass extinctions increasing. And as we're leading and going into the sixth great extinction, but what they do say, and I agree with the UN, is the greatest threat to species and endangered species is a loss of habitat. Well, what's their solution to solve a climate crisis? It's to pave over tens of thousands of square miles with solar panels, cut down thousands and thousands of acres of mature forests with wind turbines and put them up across grasslands. It seems like they have to destroy the environment in order to save the environment. And I say no thank you. No thank you. Not this American.
Let me get one more from you here, Greg, on electric cars. Obviously, this has been a big push for many, many years, the electric car revolution. Obviously, some people like Teslas. Outside of that, doesn't seem like much of this is working in the market. Yet they keep pushing them and pushing them. It does feel like over the past year or so, we've seen a real bottoming out of the hype on electric cars. My thought is that, you know, the government is going to do everything they can to make sure that these things stick around and they do wind up taking over. But the American people don't seem to want them. And a lot of these companies have had their, you know, market cap shrink by 70, 80, 90% over the past couple of years. What is the state of the electric car industry?
Bad, bad, and very bad. And I think what we've seen is that there's a saturation point. You can only find so many uber wealthy people that want a virtue signal by spending $65,000 and $80,000 and $120,000 for a Tesla. You know, there are only so many of those, and many of those have already done it. And I had a chance to drive a Tesla recently, and man, it's fun, but I'm not going to buy one for my own use because it's just not practical. It might be practical if you go from your home to the grocery store, your home to office, and be able to charge it in your home, as long as it doesn't catch fire in your garage. That would be things that do happen, but it wouldn't be very. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not uber wealthy, and I don't need the virtue signal. And it would cut into my high carbon lifestyle, which would be very bad for my image.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I would not think of you the same way seeing you drive around a Tesla. I think you should have had that. If there's video of that, you need to have it banned from the internet, Greg, because that would just not work with your persona. Greg Wrightstone, yeah. Be sure to check out his newest book. It's called A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. As we said, this is our celebration of Earth Day today. Greg, thanks so much for coming on the program, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
Share the Arrows is back, coming to Dallas, Texas, October 11th. It's hosted by Blaze TV's own Ali Beth Stuckey. Share the Arrows is a full day built for women who are tired of the noise and craving something real. Biblical truth, worship, honest conversations that actually matter. If the special woman in your life has been running on empty, this is a great place to refuel. It's not a concert. It's not a conference. It's a reset. Send someone you love or go yourself. Don't miss it. Tickets and details are available at sharetheArrows.com. SharetheArrows.com. They've got VIP options available as well. So check it out. SharetheArrows.com.